morning, everybody. Morning. I'm back up here. I'm dropping things already. What a good start. My name is Beth, if you don't know me. I've been on maternity leave. I had a little baby girl who's very sweet. I've got a very lovely little boy. It's been wonderful thinking about this because we're looking at change and when things change, and I'm coming back off maternity leave slowly, and that is a big change. And so it's been absolutely wonderful. God has been such a blessing with this sermon and this passage that Paul decided to look at, because it's been great for me to kind of chew these things over. So I hope God speaks to you this morning. I know and hope he will. I pray that we can listen. And I pray that we can have our minds changed a bit about worry and about change and about looking at things in a different way. If you haven't already, Brenda was amazing and said it's on page 216. If you can open your Bibles that you can see in front of you to page 216, I would love us to get in the habit of this, of having the word open. If our minds wander and stray, we can just have a look at those scriptures set before us. Great, I'll just give you a minute to do that. So page 216. Because my hope for this morning isn't that you necessarily hear me, it's that you hear God. It's that you ponder and think about what he might be teaching you this morning. So let's just pray as we start. Father God, thank you for your word. And we pray our hearts are changed this morning to be more like yours. Amen. So, courage in times of change. And I'm going to start off by being a bit mean. I do apologize. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think and hold in your mind something you are worried about for the future. Next slide, please, Andrew. I want you to think in your mind something you are worried about for the future. I want you to just take a minute to think of how your body feels. Are you squeezing your hands in your palms? Are you feeling hot? Are you feeling a little bit out of breath? Are you feeling jittery? This is my thing. I always find, and I can definitely see someone doing it right now, your shoulders are creeping up to your ears. Pull those shoulders down. Let go of those hands. Calm those legs. Okay, open your eyes. Worrying is horrible. It is absolutely horrible. We know, scientifically, it physically changes our bodies. When we have been worrying, our immune system actually lowers. How cruel is that? We're worrying, we're stressed, and we're more likely to get ill. We know that it has such an impact on our bodies, and it's a good thing to be preparing, to be looking ahead, to be pondering, to be processing. But worry is a trap that we can so easily fall into. And we get stuck in those what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. Our heart rate gets elevated, we get insomnia, we get brain fog. It seems to affect every part of our lives. And it's a cycle that we can think of. Psychologists call this the worry cycle. And the cruelty of this is when we worry and we're worried about a scenario, whether we get through that scenario and it wasn't as bad as we thought, or whether we get through it and it was way worse than we thought, our brain goes, ah, we survived. Worry helped us. And the next time a change comes up in our lives, our brain goes, ah, worry, that'll help. Doesn't help. We know that it's not good for our bodies, it's not good for our minds, it's not good for our sleep. Not good for our faith even. Why does this happen? Well, I love reading. We have, thank you to some wonderful people in this church, we have a wonderful reading corner back here. I want to encourage you all outside of the church building on a Sunday to be trying to grow your faith in different ways through books, through audiobooks, through videos. This is an excellent book by the author of Narnia. He's a theologian. Just basically means he studies all things spiritual and Bible and God, big word. This book is one of my favorites. It's a bit of satire, Next slide, please, Andrew. It's talking about how two demons are trying to make humans worry and panic and live in the future, not have their mind on the present. And this book is so brilliant because he kind of deconstructs all the things that go on, all the traps we can easily fall into that which keep us away from God. I do wonder if he wrote today whether he'd write one about two demons talking about how to shorten our attention spans. So I struggle with that. It's so tempting. Everything we consume today is how we can get there quicker. How can attention spans be shorter and shorter and shorter? But in this letter 15, I'm going to read this to you, okay? And it's a senior demon talking to a lower demon about how he can get his human into this trap of only thinking of the future. And we're going to see maybe why the enemy tries to trick us into that. Andrew, I've got the words on the screen. If you don't mind following through with me as we go, that'd be so helpful. Thank you. Our business is to get them away from the eternal and from the present. With this in view, we sometimes tempt a human, say a widow or a scholar, to live in the past. But that's of limited value, for they have some real knowledge of the past, and it has a determinate nature, and to that extent resembles eternity. It's far better to make them live in the future. Biological necessity makes all their passions point in that direction already, so that the future inflames hope and fear. Also, it's unknown to them. Making them think about it, we make them think of all the unrealities. Now, Beth speaking here again. This is a trap I fall into all the time. I'm worried about something, and my brain goes, let's think of 10,000 different things that could happen, and I will try and think of 10,000 different solutions. So if it happens, it'll be fine. And that trap, I get stuck in it again because one of those solutions will help me. And I get into that cycle again of overstriving, not putting my faith in God, and trying to think that the worry will fix the problems. In a word, the future is of all things the least like eternity. It's the most completely temporal part of time. The past is frozen and no longer flows, and the present is all lit up with eternal rays. Hence, nearly all vices, so all sins or bad things, are rooted in the future. Gratitude looks to the past and love to the present, but fear, avarice, lust, and ambition look ahead. We want, this is about those demons again, they want a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end. Never honest, never kind, nor happy now, but always using as mere fuel wherein to heap the altar of the future, every real gift which is offered to them in the present. So what blessings that God's given you today are you ignoring because you're chasing that future? It follows then in general, and other things being equal, that it is better for your patient to be filled with anxiety or hope, doesn't matter which, about this war than for him to be living in the present. Now, C.S. Lewis was living through times of war. People were absolutely terrified. And their minds were kept on the future, but we know this is a state of worry. So, we know trying to keep our minds in the future isn't good for us. We know it's a temptation to be out there and not here in the present, where God is, and the eternal rays of what Jesus has done for us in eternity. What do we do? Oh my goodness, doesn't this seem like a big task? It's massive, and it's something we're going to have to keep working and working and working on. It's something I have to work on. I had some physio for my shoulder, which has been really playing me up. And I was told by a very good friend of ours who's a physio, because I'm doing this. Because I was doing my dissertation years back like this, all worried. Oh, get it done. And I've twinned something in there. How interesting, we can have to work on something for years and years and years. So, when something does come up, when we do have to face change, how can we face it well. Next slide, please, Andrew. We can often think, can't we? Well, I'm facing this, but someone else might have not faced this before, or this problem's tiny, look at the massive examples in the Bible, or this problem is too niche or too modern. The Bible and God have the most incredible ways that we can look through and work through this, and God is the same now and forever, and he understands. He's in the future, he's in the past, he's everywhere. And we get this opening in Joshua, first sentence in this book. And it says, after the death of Moses. After the death of Moses. This is a death that's the change, a massive change. And this is a death of the leader of the Israelites, the only leader an entire generation has ever known. He was the prophet who spoke to God. He's just shown displays of God's power. He's been leading God's people through the desert for 40 years. And yet, Joshua by his side has seen the people rebel against him, grumble against him, complain. He's assisted him for decades, and now he has to lead God's people when there's an imminent war. Moses has died right at the border, at this kind of precipice of this land that they're just about to conquer. They're just about to conquer a territory. Oh my word, this would have been absolutely terrifying. Everything he's known in the past, the people he's been able to go to, everything has now changed. And there are thousands of possibilities that Joshua could have been worried about. We don't know whether they were going through his mind, but that isn't what we see here. What we see is God's response to Joshua. God tells him the facts. Moses is dead, you're going to lead. It's almost quite clear cut, quite concise, very straightforward. I wish I could hear him like that sometimes. Yep, this is where you're going, that's what you're going to do. And he says promises over Joshua. I will not fail you or abandon you. God reminds him of his promises to his people. He reminds them that he's leading them. God reminds him of his presence, his protection, his provision. God says, I've got this. This is the plan, it's all sorted. Don't worry. The God of Joshua, our God, is trustworthy and is with us now and forever. Next slide. Joshua is commanded something, and that's to be. He is told to be strong and courageous. And I think this is a real shift from you are. Have you ever been really worried about something and someone said to you, oh, but you're great, you've got this. You've done it before, da, 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 and you instantly think, but I'm not that, I'm not strong, I'm not clever at this, I'm not, and suddenly your brain is full of all the weaknesses. Well, actually here God's completely shifting that. Be strong and courageous because I am God. Because I am who I am, you can just be. Be in my presence, be strong and courageous because of me. How lucky are we that we get that we get to partner with God in that? Next slide, please, Andrew. So, we need to listen to the words of God, what God has promised over us. That can be really hard because it can feel like that's not happening and that's not true. When harm's happening, when devastation is around us, that can be the hardest time. And my prayer is with you in that. My heart is with you. So Joshua is asked to study the word of God. And I think this meditation is for really those times when your brain can't quite comprehend or imagine the things that you're going through or the things that you're worried about. We know from other religions, other cultures, meditating is to empty the mind, but that's not what Christian meditation is about. It's completely different. It's about filling your mind with the words of God, with words spoken over you, And this kind of word haggaz, to kind of chew over and mull over those words. And I do think the Holy Spirit can just bring those things back to mind when we're worrying about them. And God says to him, meditate on it, on my word. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written on it. How often do we cry out to God for a comfort, for a sign, when what you're holding in your hand, your Bible's open in front of you, there is something within there to bring you comfort and to bring you hope? Next slide, please, Andrew. We're going to practice this now. Because it's hard. And I'd love it if by the end of the day you've got another piece of scripture in your mind to meditate, to be brought to mind when you are in times of difficulty. So I'd like you to look up there on the screen. Now, all these verses are for Joshua from God in verse 9. But we have the whole Bible. We have so many universal promises through the New Testament that we can pick for ourselves, that we can meditate on. But I would love you to pick one of these from the screen. There might be one that really hurts when you look at it. You might not be feeling very strong. You might be feeling very afraid. You might be feeling that God isn't there where you are. I want you to pick one. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to say it to yourself over and over and over in your mind. So you've got to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord is with you wherever you go. I'm just going to give you a moment. I want you to say it over and over and over in your mind. Just like we thought how our bodies felt when we were thinking of our worry, think if your body feels any different now. Okay, open your mind. Open your mind? Don't do that. Open your eyes. Because I'm going to be mean again. I want you to look around, people sitting here right now, so you might need to turn around. I want you to catch someone's eye, and I want you to say what you've just mulled over in your mind to them. They can be far away, you can mouth it. But I want you to turn around, look at someone, and I want you to say it to them. Next slide, please, Andrew. Well done. You've all just done my last point, basically. And that is that Joshua listens to God, he listens to the promises over him. He tells him to trust in his presence. And to meditate on scripture, to have those words in our mind. But he also, we see in Joshua, we see the community echoes God. And if you are here feeling like the devastation around you is too loud, the worry is too loud, the panic is too loud, I understand, truly I do. You are not alone. And this is what our community is for. This is what God has given us, the gift of church, the community of God. Because at the end of this passage, in passage 18, and I do apologize, that's why the reading was so long this morning. I just loved it. In that final verse, the community echoes God's words back to Joshua. I just think that is incredible. In this time of panic, in this worry, in this death, the community look at Joshua and they say back to him, so be strong and courageous. And you've just done it for each other. And how beautiful is it that we get to be a community that in times when we need to raise one another up, we can speak the words of God back over each other. So I do encourage you, share those panics with one another. It's nothing to be ashamed about, to be worried about something in the future. But we as a community need to help and support and lift up each other to help get us out of that worry cycle where we think that's going to fix it. Bring them to God, help them to be strong and courageous, to know that God is with them, to
to remember our eternity, our eternal salvation and what God has done for us, and to be placed in this present. God doesn't want us
to be anxious about endless possibilities, but free to live in the present with him,
aware of our eternity through our salvation. So the last time, a little bit of reflection, and close your eyes if you wish, whatever helps you focus.
What future, what if, do you need to hand to the God who is already there? What future, what if, what future fear, what future
change that's coming up,
even what future ambition that's coming up that you're striving towards, what do you need to hand to the God
who is already there? We're just going to pray. Andrew, can you do the next slide for me, please?
Oh, yeah. Notice. This is one of the key things. You need to notice when you're shifting from preparing to the future to striving or worrying about it. Next slide, please, Andrew. Next one, please, Andrew. Perfect. Thank you so much.
I want us to all pray this prayer together because, again, we're community. We are together. We are together in this.
So if you can join me in this prayer. Lord, remind me that my strength comes from you. Help me leave tomorrow in your hands and live faithfully today. Amen. Amen. So go into this week. Maybe pick up a new book about God you haven't read before. Maybe an old one. Tom and I love going over Narnia again and again and again. We love it.
Notice when you're worrying, and please be that amazing community of God that you already are for each other. Amen.